houses, powerful magic families that ran Houston. His friends described him as a kind, considerate man. In his spare time, Jeff Caldwell kidnapped little girls. He kept them alive for up to a week at a time, then he strangled them to death and left their remains in parks surrounded by flowers. His victims were between the ages of 5 and 7, and the stories their bodies told made you wish that hell existed just so Jeff Caldwell could be sent there after he died. The night before last, he had been caught in the act of depositing the tiny corpse of his latest victim in her flower grave and was apprehended. The reign of terror that had gripped Houston for the past year was finally over. There was just one problem. 7-year-old Amy Madrid was still missing. She had been kidnapped 2 days ago from her school bus stop, less than 25 yards from her house. The M.O. was too similar to Jeff Caldwell's previous abductions to be a coincidence. He had to have taken her, and if so, it meant she was still alive somewhere. I had followed the story for the past 2 days, waiting for the announcement that Amy was found. The announcement never came. Houston PD had had Jeff Caldwell for 36 hours. By now, the cops had scoured his house, questioned his family, his friends, and his co-workers, and pored over his cell phone records. They interrogated him for hours. Caldwell refused to talk. He would talk today. "If you do this once, people will expect you to do it again," Augustine said. "And when you won't, they'll be unhappy. This is why primes don't engage. We're only people. We can't be everywhere at once. If an aqua kinetic puts out one fire, the next time something goes ablaze and he fails to be there, the public will turn on him."
"I understand," I said.
"I don't think you do. You're hiding your talent precisely to avoid this kind of scrutiny."
"I hid my talent because truth seekers, like me, were extremely rare. If I walked into the police station and wrenched the truth from Jeff Caldwell, a couple of hours later, I would get visitors from the military, Homeland Security, FBI, CIA, private houses, and anyone else who had the need of a 100% accurate interrogator. They would destroy my life. I loved my life. I ran Baylor Investigative Agency, a small family-owned firm. I took care of my 2 sisters and 2 cousins, and I had no plans to change any of it. What I did wasn't admissible in court. If I took any of those people up on their offer, I wouldn't be in the courtroom testifying in a nice suit. I'd be at some black site, facing a guy tied to a chair and beaten to within an inch of his life with a bag over his head. People would live or die on my word. It would be dark and dirty, and I would do almost anything to avoid that. Almost."
"I've taken every precaution," Augustine said. "But despite my best efforts and your outfit, the chance you will be discovered exists."
I could see my own reflection in the glass. I wore a green hooded cape that hid me from top to bottom, black gloves, and a ski mask under the hood. The cape and the gloves came courtesy of an alley theater production and belonged to Lady in Green, Scottish highwaywoman and heroine of the Highlands. According to Augustine, the outfit was so unusual that people would concentrate on it, and nobody would remember my voice, my height, or any other details.
"I know we've had our differences," Augustine started, "but I wouldn't advise you to act against your self-interest."
I waited for the familiar mosquito buzz of magic telling me he lied. None came. For whatever reason, Augustine was doing his best to talk me out of an arrangement that directly benefited him. And he was sincere about it. "Augustine, if one of my sisters was kidnapped, I would do anything to get her back. Right now, a little girl is dying of hunger and..."